Welcome to Zion Word Ministries International Podcast. We are excited to have you for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. If this is your first time here, please stay tuned until after the following message for more information regarding our ministry.
We're approaching the times of signs and wonders and miracles. And when the Holy Spirit moves, you need to get in. Because God can do anything that we can believe for. Right? Amen. So prepare yourself and get ready. Praise God. This morning, I want to go to the book of Genesis, please. Chapter 1. Tonight, we'll be continuing the live stream at 6 p.m. in the DVD room. We'll probably do that on Sunday nights through August and then start back on Sunday night church service in September. Wednesday night, we'll continue to do the live stream. You're all invited if you want to. Just wear your mask, say your prayers, and wash your hands. Now, I'm joking about wearing your mask. If you want to wear a mask, it's okay with me, but they don't really work that good. Well, you're trying to be... I'm just trying to get started, but your thought process, I pick up on that sometimes, and we have to deal with this stuff. Cheer up. God's going to take care of us. Now, have you found Genesis chapter 1? Let me get on to some teaching and maybe preaching. We'll see what happens, but... Visitors, welcome to you. Praise the Lord. Church is just that. We come together and honor God and do what's right. Amen. And it's good. Hallelujah. Verse 27. Thank you, Lord. That's the first book, Billy, in the Bible.
Yeah.
All right. So, want me to preach on that word for a while? God created, that's the Godhead, created man, Adam, in his own image, in the image of God, created he him. Male and female, created he them. But male and female were both in Adam. The bone hadn't been extracted yet, the rib. Only one rib, not two. Now, this word created, the Hebrew word is bara, which means, if I could put it in layman's terms, the Spirit was created, and God created the Spirit of Adam. Are you following me now? One. I said, God created the Spirit of Adam. Then we go to chapter 2 and verse 7. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, siete. Is that right? And the Lord God formed. Everybody say formed. Now that's a different Hebrew word than bara, which is translated created. So the Lord God created Adam's spirit. His spirit came from God. Not that it was God, but it came from God's essence. But then in this verse, God formed man, or Adam, from the dust of the ground. Now that word formed just simply means God inserted the created spirit into the body that he formed from the dust of the earth. The Lord God formed, that means to press into shape. Now I've noticed that opposite genders are shaped differently. Has anybody noticed that? Nobody? I don't know why, other than God made it that way. And man, when God pressed into shape woman, whom Adam called woman, and brought her to Adam, and Adam goes, way to go, God. Never mind, you holy people. But I've noticed a little bit different than men. Have you noticed that? God has a plan. The point I'm trying to make is that Adam's spirit was created before God formed Adam's body from dust. Then the Bible teaches us that God breathed the spirit that was already created, not formed, created, into the mannequin that God had formed from his very own hands and pressed into shape. And when God breathed the spirit into the dust, Adam sat up and became a living soul. Now say amen to that. That's what the Bible teaches. The only other alternative is we come from some big boom amoeba somewhere in the dateless past, and somehow or another we grew a tail, and then a few million years later, eyes, and then all of a sudden we climbed up a tree. Then we lost our tail. It's ridiculous. Turn your neighbor and say, it's just ridiculous. In the beginning, God created from nothing everything that is. Amen. Praise God. Can God do that? Absolutely. Yatsar, formed, the word formed, yatsar means to squeeze into shape, like I said. So the body came from dust. I remember some 4,000 years after that, God in the flesh reached down and took dirt and spit in it and formed two eyeballs and put it in the guy's eye sockets and he could see. The same God. I said the same God that created Adam's body in the formed Adam's body in the beginning now creates two eyeballs and puts in this guy's eye sockets and he sees. Praise God. Genesis 3:19 now. Thank you, Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a spirit. Say, I'm a spirit. You see, the real you is not flesh. Amen. Now, flesh is distinguishable between the spirit and soul. The spirit and soul, as we'll see in a minute, is the inner man that lives for eternity. The flesh or the outward man does not live for eternity, but the Bible says it goes back to the dust from which it came. I'm dust, you're dust, and we sneeze when we get dust in our nose, right? But here comes the curse now because of the fall of Adam. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until I return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. That's still in effect. No such thing as ashes to ashes. Forget it. Our human physical form came from the dust, and it'll go back to dust. But the real you lives forever. Amen. Because spirit was created to live forever. The soul is connected to the spirit. You can't separate the soul from the spirit, even though those two elements are distinguishable, known as the inner man. That's what I'm saying. Now, you can only know God through your spirit. You cannot know God by the flesh. Test. You can't know God by your flesh. You can't even know God by your soul. Mental intellect is not enough to know God. You can learn about God, but you cannot know God through your flesh or your soul. You can't trust your emotions. Your will fluctuates. And your mind is not perfected yet. God's still working on our mind. Your mind is not your brain. Can you see your mind? Someone said, I think I've lost my mind. Did you ever find it? The real you is invisible. Can you see your spirit? But he's real. He's there. Can you see God? No, not yet. One day we shall. What I'm saying is, the real you is going to live forever somewhere. Only two places to go. If you're born in the Spirit of God, you'll go to heaven as long as you're in the will of God. If you're not born in the Spirit of God, or you backslide to the point of no return, you go down to hell. That's it. No purgatory, no grave sleep, nothing. And we don't know when we're going to leave this temple that we live in here. One heartbeat away. Are you going to gamble with your eternal soul? I hope not. Today is the day of salvation, and now is accepted time. If you're old enough to know what sin is, you must repent or perish. That's what the gospel states. We dare not change any of it unless we get our name blotted out of the book. Amen. But our body then returns back to the dirt. But the inner man lives forever. Now, when you become born of the Spirit of God, in John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5, very simple scripture, but so profound, Jesus gave it himself in the red letter. When we're born again, or born from above, God doesn't make mistakes. He purposely begets you with the gospel, and the Holy Spirit draws you to the cross where you can receive Christ as Savior and Lord and accept his pardon and forgiveness. Then you're changed. It'll be a gradual change, it seems, for most people, but you'll not be like you used to be. You'll be on a different road, a different path, different desires. You'll find purpose and meaning for your life. You'll belong to the kingdom of God because of the new birth. On and on and on I can go. But God's good to us. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus answered and said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter back into his mother's womb? He's thinking the natural here. And be born. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then the next verse says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. This is flesh, not spirit. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now let me explain something to you. When Adam fell, his spirit died. You understand that? But his physical body didn't die until 800-900 years after that. So the physical body had to learn how to die because Adam wasn't created to ever die. The problem was he didn't partake the tree of life, and they partook of the wrong tree, which brought in death. It came from Satan. And someone said, well, sin entered into the world when Adam sinned. No. Where'd sin come from? Sin was found in Lucifer in heaven. Lucifer was demoted to Satan, and Satan came into the garden to tempt Adam and Eve with a lie. You'll be God, basically. And so Adam switched lords. Satan became the god of this world over the entire human race. This is the reason that Jesus came to redeem us back and redeem us above the fall. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. All right. For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, the outward man, to repeat today, everybody, is the physical body. Amen. How many is experiencing a few more aches and pains? Anybody? Or just me? I bought a MyPillow, but it didn't help too much, you know? Now we get some kind of a deal that blows air underneath the sheet. I don't know what you call that thing, but I don't want one. Costs too much money, right? It's life. Our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day we need to eat some manna. Jesus is the manna that came down from heaven. Amen. Our outward man is spiritual. Then we drop down to verse 18. While we look not on the things which are seen. You see, if we're going to look in the world situation and people's messes and ignorance and things like that, we're not to do that. We're not to be in denial, but then that's not the real thing. That's changing all the time. But we look at things which are not seen. Now, how can you look at things that are not seen? Well, it's spiritual. For the things which are not seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are temporal. I'll get it right. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. So we need to look to the spirit man's eye and not the eyes of the flesh all the time. If you're going to be controlled by flesh impulses, you will wind up sinning. Because that's the sin nature that's engrafted into the human race. The apt to do something wrong. God is very holy. He cannot look at any kind of sin at all. He's holy. And he must judge sin because God is absolute holy. The good deal with the Christian, not that we want to live in sin, no, God forbid, but we do have a sin nature that's got to keep beat down and crucified, and that's where the grace of God comes in. The Holy Spirit will help you live for Christ. You cannot live for God any other way. Self-effort won't do it. Religion won't do it. Rules and regulations are not good enough. Keeping the law is impossible to do. There's only one thing to do. Give up and let Jesus have your life. That's it. That's why he came, to help us. Because we can't help ourselves. The things which are not seen are eternal. So at the new birth, our eyes are opened. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you see things different today than you did before you were saved? You become aware of things, but God becomes real to you simply because before you were saved, you did not know God. You could not know God because your spirit was dead. This is the reason you must be born again. When a person is born again, their spirit is resurrected to walk in newness of life. And that's the only way you can know God. There is no other way to know God. Do you know God? Well, we'd like to know him better, I know. But we begin to know God when we're born of the Spirit of God. Then it's a process. Then it goes on and on. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not optional. You need to seek and don't give up and be filled with the Holy Spirit, tongues and all. Well, I don't think that's right. Well, then go on your way. That's what the Bible teaches. I can't compromise it for anybody. You got that? Well, you're rough. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. Be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. Ephesians 5:18. I'm not on that. But it's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is a free gift. So you can be a good witness in this evil world that we live in. Folks, it is getting so bad, we got to have the Holy Ghost. Yeah. We're not going to make it. That's right. With any kind of victory at all to share with people. Amen. When you were born in the Spirit of God, your eyes are open. And how many of you ever watched a newborn babe opened their eye for the first time. Anybody? I've watched mine. In fact, when Seth was born, he winked at me. Not really. When Seth was born, he goes, da-da. Not really. But you know, the kids that are in the womb, they know the voice of dad. I mean, I put my hand on my wife's stomach there, and Seth's in there. I said, Seth, are you in there? Bump, he'd kick. If you believe that, I got some land on the moon I want to sell you. Oh. Someone says, I wish you'd change. I can. It's too late. It's too late. Pray for me. I'll see the light, will you? All right. But when you see that little baby open his eyes for the first time, that's the way it is when you're born again. A babe in the Lord, your eyes are open. Where am I at? What's going on? It's like, wow. Where's the burden at? Like, the clouds. Have you noticed the clouds lately in the sky? There's something going on, people. Oh, man, beautiful. I've never seen nothing like it in my life. Stepping on a cloud, we'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Praise God. Well, understand God created, formed, and made man his image. Created, formed, and made. Those three words you need to study out in Genesis, okay? Years ago, I was teaching on the spirit being inserted into the feminine gender. I think it was Connie goes, where'd our spirit come from? God didn't breathe into the woman. Where'd our spirit come from? I remember that. Well, the spirit was taken. You mean we don't have a spirit? Now, wait a minute. The spirit of the woman was intertwined with the spirit of the man. When God breathed, there it was. But then, that's the reason when God said a man and a woman becomes one, you got to understand that you mean we're only half here? No, some of you are half here, okay? You got to understand that, you know, woman is created for the man and man is created for the woman, and we're not complete without each other. But the Holy Spirit has to be the one that welds that thing together, or your marriage won't stand. Right. Impossible. Amen. God's the one that ordained marriage that's holy in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. So what I need, the wife has, and what she needs, I have. Right? All right. I don't know how that the spirit of the woman, the spirit got into Eve, but God can do what he wants. Maybe Adam gave her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. How do I know? You can't disprove it. Get out of that speculation. Well, I want you to understand that God created Adam. He formed Adam, and he made Adam. All right. So we can't know God in his spiritual condition that's dormant. That's the reason somebody must preach the gospel. Yes, amen. I know the unsaved people don't like it, but it's what you need. Without the preaching of the gospel, there's no conversions, there's no healings, there's no deliverance, there's no being filled with the Spirit, there's no nothing from God, because God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. Amen. Everybody say, I like foolishness. Man, that's awful weak, you know. Now, once born again, one can know God by his spirit and not his flesh. I'm purposely repeating, because your flesh hinders your spirit from receiving the truth. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm sleepy. The roast is going to burn. Demon pinches the little kid and he cries, and you know, somebody gets up and leaves. Huh? It's all flesh. My mother-in-law, she would sit on the front seat and not let anything or anyone hinder her from receiving from God. Next Sunday morning, these front seats ought to be full. I don't care if the music's too loud, bring some cotton to put in your ears. And we're gonna sit on the back, bless the Lord. Well, you know. First come, first serve, or the last should be first. Whatever. I know this much. If I'm not preaching, I'm sitting there, and somebody else is preaching on the anointing, and bringing forth truth. Whatever God's going to do, I want in on it. I'm not going to sit back there and just spectate. Amen. Amen. It's time to get serious and get in and receive something from God when the Holy Spirit tugs upon your heart. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks or says. Sister Sal didn't know anything anyway. Glory to God. My flesh is connected to this world. So is yours. But we're not of the world. If you're born again, you're not of the world anymore. You don't belong. You have no rights. Your rights were relinquished at the cross. Jesus took over, and now he's the Lord of your life. He's calling the shots. And everything you do, you ask for his approval or disapproval. We have no right to go out on our own and expect God to bless it. Amen. As men are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. I'll tell you what, God is refining the church. You may not like it. This is the way it is. If you're playing church, you're going to get left out at the next stop sign. God is looking for a people that has some stamina, strength, endurance, and love for Jesus. He knows your heart. He knows mine. But I didn't start this race just to throw in the towel just because when the going gets rough. No. But my flesh is connected to the world. My spirit's connected to God. You see, we don't even know what it means to be in the Spirit. I taught on it a year, and we still don't know. If the Holy Spirit is intertwined with your human spirit, you are in the Spirit. Well, I don't feel. That's soulless. That's flesh. If any man doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You hear me? You are in the Spirit if you've been born again. That's the way that it works. Your flesh is what's hindering you and me. It's time to let the flesh take the back seat, praise God. Amen. So when Adam fell, his flesh took over. But at the new birth, your spirit took over. Then your soul is subservient to your spirit and your flesh is down at the bottom. Amen. If you're going to be led by the flesh, you'll sin. You'll get into sinning. They that be in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. And so, I know we're not perfect. I know we make mistakes. All of us do. But I'd rather try and make a mistake as succeed and being a nitpicker and do nothing. Amen. Well, if you're born of the Spirit of God, I think you understand what I'm trying to say today. I want to go to John chapter 4 and verse 23. Hallelujah. St. John 4, 23 today. All right. Jesus is having a little talk with a woman. He said, the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. All right. For the Father seeks such to worship him. Amen. Are we worshipers of God? Amen. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. Sunday morning should be a time when we come together to rejoice because we've been walking with God all through the week. We shouldn't have to be worked and primed and pumped up to get in the Spirit. Then we got to go home by the time we're in the Spirit and feeling good. We ought to come in that way. Then we're going to get off in the signs and wonders and miracles and various gifts of the Holy Ghost and manifestation because we're up to a place that we can operate that way. We preachers spend most of our time trying to get you to a place where you can receive from God. If we just come in ready, just come in prayed up, come in with a repentant heart, don't carry grudges, come in ready to worship God, ready to hear from God, ready to praise God, ready to worship, ready to honor Jesus the Lord, I tell you, the Holy Spirit will begin to move like we've never seen before. But when you come in with a good canvas of the world on your mind, you need to get rid of that before you come in the door. Yes. Block it out, put it on the blood, and let's do something for God. Have a good time in church. Praise God. That's the challenge. Verse 24, now the Bible tells us God is a spirit. I like to put David's translation, God is a spirit being. God is a spirit being. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He accepts no other worship. Will worship? No. Getting worked up into a frenzy? No. It's spirit. Now there's one thing to have the song leader, okay, now we're going to sing three songs, and the third song we're going to sing, leave out the third verse, and let's all stand on the fourth. How many has ever heard that? Nonsense. We're not running it. But on the other hand, when the Holy Spirit takes over and tells everybody to do that, that's different. You see what I'm saying? I want the Holy Spirit to take over totally. Carry me out like a drunk. Praise God. That time's coming. I'm prophesying now. I'm overdue for a drunk, I'm telling you. I'm overdue. Way overdue. I don't believe in that stuff. Well, you better read the book of Acts there where they thought they were drunk on new wine. Huh? Well, our church don't believe that. Now, you're not in that church now. You're here where we believe the power of God's real. We're overdue for some miracles, too. I mean, miracle money. I mean, everything. Healings. Cancers being healed. Babies' legs growing out, popping, cracking. We've seen it. I've seen it here. Blind eyes open overseas. It's time to come here. But we got to get in the spirit in one accord. Satan beats up on most of you through the week, and you got the devil on your back. Wait a minute. What's that old song? We got the devil on the run. Yeah, we got the devil on the run. Something like that. That's all I know. It's a good song. We need to put that devil under our feet. Come on now. You need to take authority over your flesh. The flesh will stop you from serving God. Find an excuse. There is no excuse. Period. Just find out what the will of God is and simply do it. Somebody said, well, I can't do that. Then you need the Holy Spirit to help you do it. I've learned the Holy Spirit can help me to do what I can't do, and I can't do anything. Jesus said, you can't even say anything. Let the Spirit tell you what to say. Right? Amen. Well, they that worship him must worship him in the spirit and truth, and God accepts no other. I mean, if somebody came down here and sat on this mourner's bench and crossed their legs and put their hands like this and go, hum, 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 it means nothing. So all you hummers have got to repent. Yeah, but what about putting the fingers together? I don't care what you do with your fingers. It doesn't mean anything. They tell me I'm number one driving around town. Man, I'm popular. Praise God, man. Look at 1 John 5:24. I'm about done. Hold on now. I know your flesh is getting weary. You know, I watched that movie the other day. The last part of that movie, where that guy goes, Blondie, you know what you are? I thought that, now you've all watched that. Of course, they blocked it out, you know. No cursing back in them days. I just thought that was funny. That's a pretty good show. I can't even find a good show to watch anymore. If there ain't 100 killings the first 5 minutes, I'm turning the channel. Then a little dog, oh, the little dog got run over. Oh, we've been so desensitized, everybody. Haven't we? 1 John 5:24. Look at this one. Hallelujah. Well, I jotted down sets of flesh. Let's look at Genesis 5:24. Maybe that was it. We live in the flesh, but we're not of it. Okay. See how I cover myself? All right. Enoch walked with God. This is what it's going to take. Okay. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Amen? I know it's 1 John 1:7. Check that one out. My pen didn't write right. Either I can't read my writing when it's wrote. I don't know which. If we walk in the light. Okay, so Enoch was walking with God. Isn't that right? Amen. How do we walk with God? Well, when you accept Christ as Savior and Lord, he comes in. Now you're walking with him. You're walking with him because he's in you. Where you go, he goes. And furthermore, he will never leave you, not for all eternity. Just because you get to heaven doesn't mean the Spirit leaves you. No. Furthermore, when we get into heaven, by the grace of God, we're just as saved now as we will be then. You don't get more saved. You're the saved, you're not saved. See? So the challenge today is to walk in the light that as he's in the light. All right, now, what kind of spiritual light has God given you? Think about this, please. Because we're at different levels here, different requirements, different responsibilities, different accountabilities, different callings. But if God's given you light, then you are required to walk in that light. All of it. You can't go back. And if we will walk in the light that God has given us, in other words, I can't deny the Holy Ghost. I can't put my old can in grave sleep. There's doctrines that I cannot compromise for. Amen. And then we have fellowship one with the other. So I should be able to get along with you children of God because I'm walking in light. Yeah. Are you walking in light? Then you can get along with me. Amen. Hello. But the big deal is we have fellowship with God. That's the main point. And if we have fellowship with God, why can't we get along down here? I'm talking to Christians, especially those that come to this church. There are no troublemakers here, and there will not be. Why? Because the preaching of the word either brings them to repentance or out the door they go. That's the way that it works. Amen. Who called you to be a judge and jury and executioner? No, I'm just a messenger boy. Amen. But God backs up the messenger boy. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, shake the dust off your feet. They're not worthy of your peace. Let it return to you. Them old boys went to hell. You understand what I'm saying? So the challenge today is to walk with God. Let me ask you a question as I'm trying to close here. Have you begun your journey with God? Don't be afraid. God's for you. If he wanted you dead, he'd have killed you. Now, Satan wants you dead. But he can't do it because God's got a plan for your life and you're going to come into it the easy way or the hard way. If you don't believe me, ask Jonah. Glory to God. Well, the problem is this. Here's the problem. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now, quit with this scripture today. Amen. But the natural man. Now, the natural man is the carnal believer. The fleshly person, whether you're saved or not saved, it's still about the same category. The natural man, the way the natural man thinks, oh, the virus is going to kill off the whole world. No, it's not. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. So what I'm talking about, the spirit part of a person, is foolishness to a natural man. He slides it off. Oh, well, those guys are crazy. Well, we'll see. The natural man receives not, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. So that means that the judgment of God is upon that person, or at least pendant upon that person, because they're carnal, the natural man. God wants us to be operated and be governed by the spirit man that's in you. Amen. If you've been resurrected by the new birth to walk in newness of life, then God wants you to be directed by your spirit man, which would bring your body into subjection to the will of God. Amen. Just like every one of you today. You chose to do the will of God by coming to church this morning and doing what was right, and you told your body what to do. Didn't you? Amen. Didn't you tell your body what to do? Well, you had to, you wouldn't be here. The flesh says, no, I'm too tired to go to church. Makes excuses, that's flesh. When we quit submitting to excuses, Satan will leave you alone. In that area, he'll find something else to nitpick with you about. But just do the will of God. Make a choice. So I'm coming down to a choice today. A choice must be made. A choice must be made. I'm going to serve God, give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to recommit myself to the will of God. I'm going to get serious about my spiritual house. I'm going to learn how to be led of the Spirit. I'm going to learn how to resist the flesh impulses. I'm going to learn how to walk in newness of life. I'm going to get committed and dedicated to the will of God. I'm going to join hard to the church. I'm going to support the gospel. I'm going to make my life count for the kingdom of God because time is short. They're predicting rapture the next 3 months. I hope it happens. I really do. But if not, we're going to keep on keeping on anyway. But what if it does happen? What if? Are we ready? Well, there needs to be a commitment.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis, pastor and overseer of Zion Word Ministries International. If you're looking for a way to get plugged into what we are doing, you can visit our website at zwmi.com or jump over to our Facebook page at Zion Word Ministries International. You can also subscribe to our podcast in other ways, such as iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. Thank you for being here, and remember to keep the faith and stay in grace.